For 120 years, Mount Carmel College of Nursing has prepared nurses to serve our communities. Here, our students can earn their Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree and take their education all the way to a Doctor of Nursing practice with small class sizes and help every step of the way. Want to learn more? Visit mccn.edu/visit to schedule your campus visit today. That's mccn.edu/visit.
To realize the future America needs, we understand what's needed from us. To face each threat head on, we've earned our place in the fight for our nation's future. We are Marines. We were made for this.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
It is time for The Last Word in the US. We're talking about Trump's first 100 days. His approval rating has been falling, but also the neighbour to the north has had quite the change. Mark Carney, with his roots, of course, from County Mayo, his Liberal Party have won the Canadian election in what's been a remarkable turnaround for the centre-left party. Also, he is... put a bit of a warning shot out to the Trump administration. Have a listen.
America wants our land, our resources, our water, our country. Never. But these are not idle threats. President Trump is trying to break us so that America can own us. That will never, ever happen.
Cal Thomas, nationally syndicated columnist, and Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway and columnist with thejournal.ie, are with us. Larry, if I can come to you first on this one. This became a fairly key issue in the Canadian election itself. Trump's tariffs and Trump's comments about Canada generally became quite the talking point for Mark Carney throughout the campaign.
Yeah, it was the defining issue, Will, really, in the campaign was Donald Trump. And I know Mark Carney is going to take a tough line and took a tough line in that speech. But he actually should be sending Donald Trump some McDonald's or KFC, because he actually is the reason why Mark Carney won and the Liberals had such an extraordinary transformation of their political fortunes. Now, Carney took a tough line there, but I still think he and his government are going to have to be conciliatory at the same time, because the reality is the Canadian economy is very, very exposed as a result of Trump's unfortunate tariffs, and they are going to have to do everything they can to mitigate against the potential impact of them. But you have to say fair play to him. Congratulations. He's a safe pair of hands. I think he'd be a good friend to Ireland for the reasons you said.
All right, Cal. Is he going to be a good friend to the USA?
Well, I think Larry's right. I think he does owe Trump his election. Look, before the conservative were ahead by 20 points. And after Trump started talking about annexing Canada and the 51st state and all these other things, then it flipped. You can't go against national pride. And so I think not only did Trump make a big mistake, but he's guaranteed the Liberal Party is going to be running Canada again if the new prime minister can manage to get a majority in Parliament, which is still up in the air at the moment.
Given as well, Cal, look, most of the cities in Canada which are populous are all within a few miles of the US border. It's pretty much crucial for both sides here to actually keep good relations, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we've always talked about our friends to the north and the south being Mexico, the north being Canada. I've traveled to Canada many times. I love the country. I work on my college French when I'm in Montreal and Quebec. And they're just great people and great friends. I just don't understand the reason for all of this. I think it was silly. It was a disaster politically if Trump wanted a conservative neighbor to the north, and it was just completely unnecessary.
But think as well, Larry, this is the dream if you're the Liberals going into this. So you're just after changing around, Justin Trudeau has made way, Mark Carney comes in. Instead of having to talk about domestic issues and policy that you're going to bring in, which is very much what the Conservatives were doing throughout the campaign, you just talk about Donald Trump.
Yeah, as I said, it was a dream come true for them. I mean, Cal's right. The reversal in fortunes of the Liberal Party is absolutely extraordinary. I think you'd have to look to the history books to see such a dramatic transformation in such a short space of time. So absolutely. And I have to say, I fully agree with Cal. I love going to Canada. I love Canadian people. I think it's a great place. They are our dearest and, you know, among our dearest and oldest friends. We're obviously neighbors. Trump's attacks on Canada really strike me as totally pointless. I don't see what possible gain there was to be by floating this idea of becoming the 51st state or any of that. It just it played into his opponent's worst fears and gave justification for people who think that Donald Trump is deranged. So it was pointless at every level.
Was the 51st state side of things, Kyle, was that just trying to appeal directly to the American audience to think that they could maybe see Canada as a little brother that they could take over?
Well, remember, Barack Obama said he'd been to all 52 states, so I think we're one short. I don't understand the point of it all. I mean, why would you attack your friends and suck up to Vladimir Putin, who is our enemy? I mean, I think Trump has got it reversed on this. This just came out of nowhere. It has real no ultimate purpose. It's not going to happen. Canada's a sovereign nation, like Greenland, although it's run by, you know, pretty much by Denmark. What is the purpose of all of this? So he's talking about minerals and all the other things, but we already have great cooperative agreements with Canada on a number of things, and those things that are imbalanced on trade could be negotiated. You don't attack your friends and suck up to your enemies.
They say the first 100 days are crucial in any presidency. In this case, the USA have maybe had more changes when it comes to US foreign policy, particularly since the Second World War. Let's have a listen to some of the highlights of Trump's first 100 days.
We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. The FAA is actively recruiting workers who suffer severe intellectual disabilities, psychiatric problems, and other mental and physical conditions under a diversity and inclusion hiring initiative spelled out on the agency's website.
Are you saying this crash was somehow caused and the result of diversity hiring? And what evidence have you seen to support these claims?
It just could have been. We have a high standard. We've had a higher, much higher standard than anybody else.
This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it.
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. China, 67%. That's tariffs charged to the USA.
So there you go. What the 3 months has been, really. Arguments with NATO, a feeling that perhaps the US is going to turn its relationship around with Ukraine, talking about praise for Vladimir Putin, which Kyle has already mentioned, and then those huge reforms economically, particularly coming with the tariffs. I don't know, Kyle, what's your assessment been overall of this 100 days?
Well, first of all, let's remind our listeners that the 100-day standard was something instituted in the first term of Franklin Roosevelt, and people wanted to speed up government to address the Great Depression. So that's been the standard since the Roosevelt administration. But I think when you talk about criticism of Trump, the Democrats have it even less. They have no issues. There are a couple of people now in the House and the Senate are talking about another round of impeachments. You had this silly demonstration with a bunch of members of Congress sitting on the Capitol steps over the last weekend. Among young people, Democrat approval is only 27%. But here are some of the things that Trump has really accomplished. Border security, that was the number one issue among voters in the last election. He has virtually closed the border. The deportation of illegal criminals, including child molesters, rapists, and serial killers, addressing government waste, defunding DEI, protecting female sports for men who think they're women. That's another one. A crackdown on colleges that allow anti-Semitism and bar Jewish students from getting to classes. All these things, I think, including inflation declining, which was very high under Biden, although it started to decline.
They might appeal to his base, Cal, and those who voted for him. I mean, his approval rating is down to 41%. It's the lowest since Eisenhower.
Yeah, well, you know, this is only the, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. And approval ratings don't mean as much at the beginning as they do at the end. There have been a lot of presidents who had low approval ratings during their administration, and near the end of it, it went up, and after they left the presidency, it went up. So, but border security has crossed political lines. I mean, there are a lot of independents and some Democrats who are very much in favor of the border being closed. Now, the Biden people, including Secretary Mayorkas, claimed erroneously that the border was secure. It wasn't. They also claimed that Biden was sharp as a tack in collusion with the media, and we know, and we knew then, really, that he was not. So 100 days is only 100 days. Let's give it some more time.
All right, Larry. 100 days, the approval rating has fallen. Trump isn't winning any new friends or supporters there.
No, he's not. And on the immigration issue, Cal is absolutely right. But we're also starting to see emerge very human stories of legal people in the United States legally being detained. All sorts of really horrible abuses that are coming with this. And my question about where the American people are is, yes, an awful lot of people in the abstract, they oppose the illegal alien, that they want them out. They want the borders closed. But as we continue to hear more and more very human stories, I wonder about that. And I wonder about the perception that might grow about Trump's authoritarian impulses when they see injustices, as we know, continue to arise. In terms of where Trump is, I mean, the economy really is everything in American politics. And Trump really is down on tariffs, on inflation. Trump's base are the only ones still with him. His favorable rankings on both of those are at 35%. Now, the follow-on to that, and Cal's right about this as well, is that the Democrats are flailing. Democrats are in difficulty. Their numbers are quite poor as well, and they really don't have a coherent message of opposition. They don't have a face of opposition, and the fact is that their policy priorities, or at least what are perceived to be their policy priorities, are dictated to them by hard left white college educated liberals who are very much out of step with people in middle America, including very many people who used to vote for the Democratic Party. So sure, Trump is in a bad way right now, but Democrats are too.
Larry, if the Democrats don't turn that around, there's always been this feeling that Trump needs to get most of his policy through by the midterms, because there's always the feeling that there's going to be a kickback, because traditionally that's what tends to happen. But if the Democrats continue to flail, maybe they won't take enough seats then.
Well, this is the problem. I mean, if precedent is any dictate, Will, Democrats should do very well in 2026. And indeed, I'd be very surprised if they didn't retake the House, given that precedent and given how close the numbers are. The Senate is a bigger climb. But the thing is this, and, you know, and again, some of this will depend on whether Trump pulls back on some of this extreme stuff that has a lot of Americans hurting financially and worried about the future. If he does pull back, and Republicans are able to present this as a least bad option midterm elections, they might do a lot better than people think. And indeed, in my view, they might do a lot better than they deserve to, politically or otherwise.
Kyle, do you feel the tariffs went too far? I mean, this has effectively created a trade war with the EU now, who are a major trading partner.
Yeah. Well, I think it looks like, from what we hear, that the first country to make a trade deal that will be acceptable to Trump is going to be India. And you had one of the administration officials on Fox this morning saying if that happens, the stock market could very well go up 1,000 points on the Dow Jones Industrials, which would settle down the seniors a lot and their retirement funds who have been worried with the decline in the stock market. I don't know why Trump chose this tariff trade war in the first place. There are plenty of other issues that he could have addressed and is addressing, and he could have come to that later. One of the things that I think was a problem is that he has moved too fast on some things. I understand he thinks that because of the midterms, as Larry was saying, and the tradition of the party in power getting flipped in those midterms, that doesn't always happen, but it usually does, that he wanted to get as much done as possible. But I think that you need to bring the country along, and a lot of eyes were glazing over here with the speed of everything that he's been doing. You have to communicate with the country and bring them along as you're doing something and not leave them behind.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, Larry, isn't it? I mean, it's very easy to, well, it was still quite remarkable it happened, and the amount of executive orders and, in this case, how quickly the tariffs happened. It's very hard to roll back on this, particularly if you are trying to find an agreement with the trading bloc with 27 countries like the EU.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And whether he'd admit it or not, I think that Trump should realize that he probably made a big mistake by listening to people like Peter Navarro, Lutnick, and others who were the hard charges on the tariff front. I think other voices like Treasury Secretary Bessent, they'll be saying, look, we got to pull back on these. And we know the one thing that Donald Trump does watch. He might say he doesn't, but we know he watches the opinion polls like a hawk. And we saw
how he's reacted in the past 24 hours to these polls. He's called them negative criminals and all sorts of other things. This is how he's described media outlets that have done the polling. So with the polling falling, my own guess, and it's probably a fool's errand to guess what Donald Trump is going to do, my own guess is that he's going to pull back on some of what he has said about tariffs, because it is a political loser big time.
Kyle, where does Ukraine and the potential ceasefire with Russia move from here? Because we saw the videos and the pictures of Zelensky sitting down with Donald Trump at the Vatican the week just gone by. And yet at the same time, it was a public dressing down for Zelensky from J.D. Vance and from Trump when we go back a few months ago. How do you see it proceeding from here?
Yeah, that was an amazing picture, wasn't it? There's two chairs, a one-on-one. You don't see that too often. Look, Putin lies. He claimed to have agreed to a ceasefire before a few weeks ago, and of course he just shelled more civilians and cities in Ukraine. I think we have to take Putin at his word. He has said he wants to restore those nations that were lost in the collapse of the Soviet Union. He's already got Crimea. And fortunately, I think Trump is now starting to criticize Putin. If that's going to turn into some kind of policy reversal, that would be a good thing. But I think we should take Putin at his word. He wants Estonia. He wants Latvia. He wants, and he's stationing troops now along these other borders. So I think we have to believe what he says, at least in this regard, not when it comes to ceasefires.
What do you think, Larry? I mean, potentially this is a breakthrough, seeing the two of them sit down together. Emmanuel Macron, I think, was walking past and he was kind of brushed on by Zelensky to indicate this was a one-on-one sit-down that he wanted to have with Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, we all have to be hopeful that something good can emerge, that we can get a ceasefire here. With respect to Putin and his motivations, one thing I'd say is that if Ukraine has proven anything, the idea that Russia has the military capacity to go on some sort of great expansionism really flies in the face of what we've seen. It was supposed to take Kyiv in 3 days. It still hasn't 3 years on. So I'm not so sure. I don't want to tempt fate, but I'm not so sure about their military might. My own sense of what Trump is after here, and again, he's been criticized by all sorts of people, perhaps rightly, but this is all about one thing for Donald Trump when it comes to Ukraine and Russia, and it is the idea of promise made, promise kept. And he wants a ceasefire. He doesn't particularly care what the contours of the deal are. His perception is that Putin has the cards. That's why I think he's been favoring Putin in trying to devise a solution here. He wants the headline. He wants to go home to the American people, say, look, I'm the only one who could stop this thing, and he's not particularly doesn't particularly care about who it favors, just that it gets done. And ultimately, then, even if it does fall apart, he will say, "Look, I did everything I could, but I've also redefined Ukraine and Russia. This is not an American problem. This is a European problem. They need to go deal with it." And he's counting on the fact that the isolationist impulse, which is strong in the United States right now, an awful lot of people will say, "We agree with you, Mr. President."
Larry, so I want to ask you one last question before we finish. And this is around the Irish woman from California who's been living legally in the USA for basically over 20 years. She's been living there, I think, for around about 40 years. And the offences which she was pulled up on in Tacoma, Washington in the week just gone by was the fact that she had come back to Ireland to visit her sick father. She holds a green card, but there were convictions for drug possession back in 2007, 2008, nearly 20 years ago, which she believed had been expunged, but then she gets pulled in by Border Control. Obviously, a large part of this is Border Patrol, as Cal has mentioned, is being strengthened, it's being bulked up. But this maybe will speak to the concerns of maybe some of the Irish who are living in the USA now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know from speaking to people who, you know, who are undocumented, people who work with people undocumented, they are very, very frightened about their status. And I think they should be, unfortunately. And it bears repeating. I mean, I talked about the human stories and the human side to this. This story of this woman from, born here but living legally in California illustrates all of this. This never, ever, ever should happen in the United States of America. And I certainly hope that her detention ends swiftly and that she's returned to her life. And I know she cares for a disabled child. So it's a really horrible thing to have happen.
Cal, Larry, many thanks for joining us on The Last Word on this Tuesday.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
For 120 years, Mount Carmel College of Nursing has prepared nurses to serve our communities. Here, our students can earn their Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree and take their education all the way to a Doctor of Nursing practice with small class sizes and help every step of the way. Want to learn more? Visit mccn.edu/visit to schedule your campus visit today. That's mccn.edu/visit.